Blog Talk Radio. Have you read the books? Arranged by the author Sherelle Ominika Bidiako Garth.
Hello, and welcome to Care to Read. I'm happy that you joined us this evening, because we're going to be working on our seminar number 4. This is Ominka 7. This show is being sponsored by RIF with the underwriting of Project 2019. I'd like to thank you for tuning in. We've been having technical difficulty for quite a while now, but if we can just look over that as professionals and go right on as planned. We will have a guest this evening. She should be calling in shortly, and I will be introducing her to you. Now, because Blog Talk is having some problem, I doubt if we'll be able to get her on here. Maybe, just maybe, this time they will get their act together and help me out a little bit here so that my system is up and running. But in the meantime, I want to thank you for being a part of Care to Read. Some of you got up with me this morning at 5 o'clock in the morning. Give yourself a pat on the back. You definitely deserve it, because you are the forerunner of readers, the coaches out there, the teachers who are behind these children and wanting to make sure that everyone exercises their inalienable right to learn to read. And I know that when I got up this morning at the neck of dawn, I literally had so much energy, and I'm just raring to go again, because it's necessary that we press ourselves and get out there and do what we have to do to bring about an illiterate society. Wouldn't you agree? I certainly would, because mothers, wake your children up, and teachers, if you're out there, get your notebooks out, because you are going to get some information that you can utilize today. I hope that you are going to my Jumpstart website, and that website will be open to all teachers. You only need to be a teacher to access that website. We are working very, very feverishly to make that website accessible to our parents as well, if they are homeschooling. That website is a free website, and it houses all of the material that I'll be covering throughout this segment of the workshops. And I'd like to go over some of the workshops that we've already covered so far, and I certainly would like to pause for a moment, but unfortunately, because Blog Talk is having some problems, I cannot pause right now, because I don't have my station identification ability to put you in a mode or queue for listening to music. And unfortunately, that has happened now twice. I think I'm going to have to make some changes and get those things all taken care of. So a little housekeeping. So if you don't mind, bear with me here as I prepare. I'm still trying to see if I can get on. And if not, I'll just go on with the show. And if our guests won't be able to get on, that's a sad thing today, because she certainly was looking forward to being on the show. You know what? I'm going to give her a phone number that she can call me on, and then I think we can still get her on the show. Okay? Can you kind of pause with me 1 second here? Yes, this program that we are about to start, I'm very excited about it. I hope you are. It's a program where children will be able to get the gist of what's going on in the classroom, and teachers will be able to get involved as well. So if you just bear with me for 1 second here, I'm going to see if it's possible to do a few things to make some technical adjustments here. Well, that won't work. I have to click her in. She hasn't even called yet. Well, she's going to try to call the other. I'm going to tell her to call me. I'm going to have my guest ring my other number since we can't get through on the computer. Something is trying to house us up and jam us up. But I tell you, can nothing stop me because I am with this program to the end. And I know that people are monitoring. They're trying to see what you're doing. Well, I'm doing nothing but what we all should be doing, and that is getting children excited about reading, you know. And I think it's important that we take time out of our schedule to do that. And during this time that I had this difficult time of trying to get the system up and running, maybe the Premier system is not as bad. Can you hold for 1 second, audience? Okay, listening audience, I'm going to see if I can get our guest on the line now. If you just bear with me for 1 second, I'm going to try to click her in. Well, I tell you what, I'll click her in a little while, and I'll just go on with the show. Hopefully the system will start functioning, and I can get her on the line here on the system. Once again, how are you? And thank you for joining me this evening. I know it's been a long, long week, and you've been holding on and following me and connecting with me, and I really appreciate it. And boy, do the children appreciate it. Once again, this topic that we're talking about today is Care to Read. This is underwritten by Project 2019. Some of you who have not been with us in the past might not know about Project 2019. Let me take a brief moment to explain who Project 2019 is, give you a little background history. Project 2019 is a national movement, to close the gap of disparity, of the discrepancy of minority students who are falling between the cracks and who are not graduating and escalating to the level of receiving a diploma or a higher level degree. Our whole aim is to make sure that the gap by the year of 2012 is starting to close and we see some progress where the African-American child is now starting to go to college, complete their college degree, and matriculate and transition out into employment. Now, we know that nobody else will do this for us but us. So we have taken an initiative all across the country in several states. I think it's about 40 states now of those people who have formed chapters. I am a chapter here in the state of Indiana. And my chapter is the Northern West Chapter of Indiana. And our chapter houses a program that works with biomedical students and engineers. And what we try to do is help those students who are transitioning out of high school. We help them to get involved in the STEM program, which is the Math, Science, Technology program. And we refer them over to the programs in the community. And one of the other programs that we are now starting to work with is the biotechnology program, where we will be helping students get involved with science classes so that they can realize that they too can be engineers, and they can also aspire to be a technician, even if they are a female. Now, the reason why I got involved with this particular method of working with children is because of my background in engineering. I had the opportunity of working in the capacity of a scheduler planner, where I worked with the engineers and assisted them in getting the numbers together and preparing them for projects. However, there were several young men who were engineers who worked on the NASA project, and we had the opportunity to work on a B-1 bomber and help to put programs together. So I thought I'd take that knowledge and background to help some students. And Project 2019 has many missions, and reading is one of them, because we know our students cannot advance themselves if they are not reading. And we also know that if they are not getting a fundamental training, that they will not advance to the higher level programs. So one of the things that I would ask that you would join us in doing is a crusade for getting children in programs, after school, Sylvan Learning programs. I spent some time tutoring with Sylvan Learning to get students up to par so that they can begin to get those test scores up and matriculate into higher level classes. So what we're about is closing a gap of disparity, and hopefully by the year of 2019, the students will be ready to close that gap, and those test scores will be higher, and more students will be graduating from college. It is our desire, it is our hope, and it is our dream that this will happen. So in our effort for this nationwide mission, we're asking you, if you know children in your community that are non-readers, that are illiterate, to take time to ask them if they care to read. Read to a child today. It doesn't cost you anything to take time out to read to a child. It doesn't cost you anything at all. Take some time to go and read to a child and talk to the child about the opportunities that are available for them. Talk to the child about the fact that reading is fundamental, and explain to them that once the reading capacity improves, then test scores improve. And they may not be a mathematician, but if they learn how to read adequately, I guarantee you that they'll become better mathematicians as well. And I have found that children's test scores go way up when their reading ability goes up as well. Now, I want you to know one thing. One thing that I am very proud of in our district, we have preschoolers that leave our district that are reading. Reading, I don't mean just calling words. They are actually reading, fundamentally comprehending and reading, using cognitive objects to put together words and letters, and they are really sharp. I have had the opportunity of tracking them and following them and learning about how academically inclined they are. I have been rather impressed. So that's why I'm doing this job. I don't get paid for this. No, it's not necessary because I was taught a long time ago that it's important to give something back to your community in a way of volunteering and find areas that you can volunteer in. And this happens to be one of the areas that I give my time honorably to charity to help students to acquire the opportunity to read. And now I've extended that to the process of teaching teachers. I am an adjunct. I teach at the junior college. I'm a visiting lecturer, and this semester I've been off for a while, and periodically I do take assignments as an advisor. I do advising work where I actually advise a student and observe and do the observations for child development candidates. So, yes, I can get pretty darn busy, but there's never a time when I'm too busy to help somebody. And I'm going to tell you to help somebody, too. And if you're out there, I'm going to ask the Spirit to speak to you and speak to your heart, to soften your heart, to give you an honorable spirit of reaching out and giving a child a chance to read and asking them if they would care to go to the library with you if they don't have a library card. Yes, I'm up on my soapbox offer because I think it's important that I should do this because there's so many people out there that are looking for something to go wrong, pulling the rug out from up under people, making things go bad, that they're not doing the right thing and spending their time in EYPALU, good character and good conduct. But we know how karma works. We know how karma works. We know that what you put out there and what you sow, you'll reap. So if we want to reap good things, we want to sow good seeds to our neighbor. We want to make sure that we follow the two commandments, to love yourself with all your heart and to love your neighbor and to love God with all your heart so that your neighbor becomes a person who is in need, not necessarily someone who lives next door. But I was taught, always find an avenue where you can give something back to the community. That's all I'm asking you today, is to give something back. The training that I'm offering the teachers is a very valuable training. It's a training that's normally offered at the college, and it's an extension program with a certificate involved and a certification of completion of a literacy coach. However, in this program, we will not be extending any certificate right now. The technical difficulty won't allow us to be able to make those downloadable things available to our candidates. So therefore, we are giving them the training, and at a later date when we can offer this class in a co-host session, then we will possibly make those certificates available. But the downloadable items and handouts will be made available to teachers at their own cost if they are interested. Now, let me go on. I'd like to stop and make a recommendation of a book for the family, something that the family can read that is very, very sacred to me. And I'm talking to the women today, and women, wake up, wake up, wake up your husbands because you need this book in your classical collection. And this book is by Malafe Kefi Asante, Dr. Malafe Kefi Asante. This book is entitled The Kemetic African Centristic and Knowledge. Very, very interesting book on the Kemetic teaching and the dynasty. I urge you to get a copy of it. You may go online and look for it. His name is spelled Molfeskete. Asante, Asante. He also is a professor of a university, I think, in Pennsylvania, if I'm not mistaken. His book and materials are very, very excellent. He actually was contracted at one time to come to our school district to develop an infusion program for African-centristic material. So he's well sought after, and all of his books are excellent. I have many of his audio visuals and videotapes, which I treasure. Now, let me take a little time now and read to you one of my little essays, and I like to read this periodically just to bring myself down to a level of relaxation. I'm slowing myself down here. Once upon a time, there was a village built up on the edge of a river where the water churned roughly over the rocks. The villagers came up with a plan. A net was put downstream to catch those who had fallen in the river. A full-time crew was hired to watch for villagers floating downstream, pulling them from the river, drying them off, and getting them out and putting them in the ambulance. The couple decided to take matters in their own hands by helping build a large fence along the rough part of the river, which is known as prevention. Secondly, by offering swimming lessons, which is known as education. Speaking to the villagers about the dangers of going into the river without a life jacket, they continued to do workshops, which was prevention and education. Conducting classes to teach people how to maneuver their boats around the rocks. And that's what I'm doing today. I'm maneuvering around the difficulty that has occurred online now. I'm maneuvering around that because I'm a professional. I know that it's necessary to go on as planned. So they have created prevention and education. A couple who moved to the village watched what was happening and asked if something more could have been done. Yes, perhaps collaboration. The villagers explained that they had developed a good system, and while they weren't able to save everyone, things had improved a bit. A new hospital was built closer to the river's edge to aid in helping the people who had fallen in the river. All these efforts increased the survival rate of the people who fell into the river, but many were still injured or drowned. Soon, fewer and fewer people were falling into the river, and those who did were better able to help themselves out. Family life education is a teaching tool and the skill that the knowledge is needed to avoid falling into the river and about knowing how to help yourself if you do. That's the question here today. For those children who have fallen into the river and are not able to get up, meaning they're not able to remediate themselves on their own and need help, I wonder if they're given aid and assistance to help them with their deficit, will they be able to get up? Will they be able to continue on, and will they be able to ever read? I say yes. With programs like mine and many others out there and the commitment level that we share, I believe in the human race, the only race, the human race. I believe that there is a level of occasion that we will rise to when given the opportunity. And at this particular point, I'd like to give every one of you in the audience the opportunity to rise to the level of the occasion by getting out your notepads and getting over to the computer and putting your ear to the metal and start listening to what's going on in Care to Read. Care to Read is a fantastic program supported by RIF. The curriculum is written by RIF, and RIF is an organization that works with children from birth to age 11. They create programs throughout the city to support families and parents and also providers. Now, I'd like to do a quick review, if you don't mind. Earlier this morning, we went over the early literacy skills, and I'd like to go over those skills. The print motivation, vocabulary, and print awareness, narrative skills, phonological awareness, and letter knowledge. We went over those things this morning in our module number 3, and today we are working on module number 4. But I'd like to just briefly review a few things for those of you who might have missed our session this morning. I'm sure that there was a lot of people who wanted to be up, but just weren't up for it. That session that we did was Where Conversation Leads. We talked about how children need to learn the rules of conversation, taking turns, making sure that they have eye contact and listen when the other person is articulating, making sure that they are around people who are role modeling for them, and making sure that they have plenty literacy and rich material within their grasp, meaning that the parent or teacher will set the environment up that will induce the child to learning. Another thing that we pointed out was key messages like oral language, including listening and speaking skills. Conversations are the opportunities to share important ideas, and children gradually gain the ability to use language as a tool. It becomes a tool, and yes, it can become an ammunition that you use, and if you become a very skillful artist at using your gift of articulating, you can use it like a weapon. And sometimes you might even read in biblical books that your tongue can be as sharp as a two-edged sword, cut going in and cut coming out. And I've heard that expression, have you? Meaning that your words could be so sharp. And I always tell the children, make your words very sweet. For tomorrow you may have to live with your words. So be careful of how you talk and speak to people. Use a lower tone, because when you use a lower tone, it will turn away wrath and trying to keep down confusion and preventing a lot of unruly nonsense that's going on in this world today, and trying to make sure that you are restoring peace back to its natural stage. Yes, this earth was peaceful at one time, but because of humans coming aboard and wanting to be selfish and stockpiling and wanting more things, it became unruly. And people became bitter and mean to each other. And that's how we spend the course of our day. And I have to always tell children, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things give a good report, think on those things about people. Always have a good thought about someone or something good to say about them, no matter what they say or do to you. Because you don't have to vindicate yourself. Children like that. They feel like they have a weapon. Because silence is greater than gold. It is a weapon. You don't always have to respond or speak. And you can use the silence technique just as well as you can use your expression. Now, let me go on into workshop number 4, reading aloud. And I'm going to review the reading aloud, and hopefully we'll get through that. And this morning, I also started on the reading aloud. And the objectives for this particular program, as a result of this workshop, we hope that the teachers and providers will go away, and the parents will select books that are developmentally appropriate for individuals, and will read out loud in a way that they can encourage the activity and involvement of the child, as open-ended questions that encourage children to build their own understanding of stories. Yes, their own understanding, because they have a frame of thought, but you want to encourage them. You definitely want to encourage them to have a frame of thought. And you want to make sure that at all times that they have an opinion. Because someone without an opinion and no opinion on anything, someone could come along and give you their opinion, which is not yours at all. So encourage the children to have their own opinion. Don't be biased and passing on your biased thoughts about things. Let the child frame his own reference and where he's coming from about different situations. There are many different kinds of books your children can read. For example, books can explain the reinforcement concept, allow children to build positive self-images, encourage children to participate in reading, and pass a traditional tale to the next generation. Give a child a story from one of your traditional fables. Our family was always passing down fables and traditional stories. My uncle's son, who was a storyteller, a professional storyteller. And in that day and time, we thought that to be strange, but he was a musician and storyteller. He passed on many stories down to us, and I now took some of those stories and rewritten them and are preparing to put them in the Lily Pot. My uncle's name was Eugene Lilly, so we are naming this collection of stories after him in honor of his storytelling. He told stories throughout the community, and he played his harmonica. People tend to think that he was an expert or professional, but he never finished traditional school. His whole write-up was in the family section of the newspaper about how successful he was with his green thumb and growing a garden from his wheelchair. And at the same time, he gave to the community with his orator and speaking and storytelling. He never gave up, even after losing both legs. He's certainly an inspiration to me, and he was my role model for loving books and engaging in storytelling and listening to short stories. That's what drew me to the area of reading. I am not a reading specialist by credential. However, I do have the necessary coursework to be credentialed for this. Now that I have I obtained the training from the University in Indiana for literacy coach and received a certificate for literacy coaching, I am not a specialist. There is separate license that specialists can obtain. And they've changed some laws here in the state of Indiana. I understand that they no longer want to have a specialist. I don't know if they finally decided to keep the reading teacher and not the specialist, but they are working on those issues right now as I speak. Now, let me go on to say that I was a science teacher. My background was science and history. However, my love for reading was so vivid that people tend to always think that I wanted to work with the younger children. And I didn't know how much I loved working with the younger children until I was given the opportunity to work with kindergarten. And I found out that was my first love, coming from sixth and seventh grade to kindergarten. I became the kindergarten cop. And if you read my biography there, it talks about in my blog, everything I ever wanted to learn, I learned in kindergarten. That's right. Because the children gave me a full foundation of every discipline you could think of. And I had to be ready on every account and be fully persuaded that I was endowed with the right information, because these little souls were going to be thoroughly taught. They were going to be taught to the level of mastery, so when they walked out of there, they could master a subject. And I was so pleased to see that many of the students went on to become honor students and go on to gifted and talented program. I think that teachers can do such a great job with kindergartners that they can't do with any other grade. They're so fortunate to start from a clean slate. Begin the foundation without a blemish or without someone tainting the child's learning. That's a good foundation to start from. And believe you me, the child wants to do everything you do. When you start shimmying on down with your shake it to the east and shake it to the west and old Mary Matt all dressed in black, they want to do all of the songs and little Sally Walker sitting in a saucer. Oh, they love it. The boys even want to get up and shake their shimmy down too. But you have to tell the boys that it's okay because they have a partner, and you keep teaching these children how to get physically involved with the riddles and also with the rhymes and with the chants. Make sure you're doing plenty of movement. Those of you who are shy, you're going to have to learn how to walk away from that shyness, because children love it when you engage in activities with them. They love it. You start growing up all over again. And I think in my blog I wrote down that you learn how to become a child all over again. And what you didn't learn in kindergarten, you certainly pick it up from the children. They will keep you sharp, believe you me. And I did a looping with a group of children where I kept those same children for 2 years. So therefore, I had extensive amount of time to work with them on their reading and vocabulary and phonemic awareness. So by the time they left me, they were ready. They were reading, and people couldn't believe that they were reading. How did you get these children reading? And how are they reading at first and second grade level? Because I put reading as a fundamental, rudimentary, number one project in my class. Before you could do anything, you must learn to have a familiarity with words and have a conversation with people articulating and be able to break down words. It's very important for them to learn to decode the words and to learn the rules, because it's far too late to start teaching at third grade, learning the rules and understanding how to regularize the code. Reading is a regularized code. And I often tell African-American children that in other countries, in the motherland, the children there speak over foreign languages. When I was in Germany, I met Africans who spoke more than four languages, and that gave them a good handle on the English language so that they knew how to use the verb content and the noun content. And they knew exactly how to add their suffixes and prefixes. It's very important that you teach a foreign language to early learners. It's very important. And now that I've said that, I'll go on. Reading aloud is more pronouncing is more than pronouncing words on a paper correctly, and the children listen to the story. to talk about the meaning. It's important to get into the meaning. Do you understand? What were they talking about in that paragraph? The five W's, who was involved? Where did the story take place? What happened in the story? And why did that happen? Who, what, when, and where has to always be discussed in the story. Give the child an easel with those words on it so that as you begin to read the story, you can fill those blank areas in as they go along and read. Now, reading out aloud, as we know, is something that children are going to love to do. And on that note, I'd like to transition right into our next chapter, okay? Because reading out aloud, we did a lot on this morning. And if you'd like to go and get the project on demand, you can. It'll be right there for you. And I'm going to check my computer here and see if anything is coming up on the screen here and see if we can get back into Blog Talk again. I'm constantly having, maybe I'm going to have to shut down and try to come back in again and see if that'll help. Now, one thing I do want you to understand is that Blog Talk has, you know, millions of people that they have to work with, millions of people, and these people are doing shows all the time. So sometimes when you put a note in for technical difficulty, it can be quite a while before you get a response back. And things were working fine earlier this week, and all of a sudden, after midnight, I noticed that I started having some problems. And we're gonna eradicate those problems. We're gonna eradicate those problems. Keep your fingers crossed. I'm gonna see if our guests can still get on here this evening. And if it is, it'll be a treat for us. If not, we'll go on right on with the show as scheduled. I am determined that this show will go on no matter what. Yes, I am determined and fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Now, working with workshop number one, this particular workshop, I'd like to give you a little brief introduction and overview of the workshop number four, reading aloud. Okay, we're gonna do reading aloud. Okay. I tell you what, I'm gonna go into this next one, number five, because I think that's where we are here, making our mark. Making our mark. I love the title of this particular one because the first thing that came in my mind was the child was making marks all over the wall. And I can just see the child with their little pen and paper going over to the wall and using the canvas. They like large spaces. So why not just bring some canvas paper and hang it up on the wall and let them mark on the wall? That would be satisfying for them, I would think. And sometimes us teachers, we do get that block paper and we roll it across the wall and we let them mark on it and write on it, and they feel so relieved that they have had a chance to mark and leave their marks on the wall. Now, the objective of this particular workshop, as a result of the workshop participants, I have to read you the objective, to provide material activities and interactions that support children and develop the eye-hand coordination. Now, let me stop for a minute. Some people may not be too familiar with that eye-hand coordination, making sure the eyes are working connected to the hands and that they're coordinated, you know, in the right position. The visual perception is working fine, drawing and writing skills, the alphabet knowledge and phonemic awareness is all working. Now, I like to do something a little bit differently. Because our first unit is all about self and getting to know self and all about me in the classroom, the first thing that I do before I even pull out the alphabets, I teach the child the letters in his name. I don't bother with going to that chart over the board and start going through all those 26 alphabets because I know that's a bit too much. I make the child acquainted with his name, put his address up on the board along with his name, and let him work on that for a couple of weeks until he masters that. In between that, I teach several letters a week, like four letters a week, and literally give them to him in isolation so that as they learn the four letters each week, they're also learning the letters in their name and the children in the classroom. And there is a monetary reward for those children who learn their birthday and learn their address and, of course, the letters in their name. They get a chance to go to our store, and I give out the bucks for our class, the Academy bucks, and they get the bucks, which are equivalent to money, where they can go shopping. So they like to run their economy store inside of a micro city. They love this because they get to see how to apply economics to their daily lifestyle, and they get a chance to apply this so that they can begin to understand that money has a value and a purpose. Okay? Now, let me go on. Key messages. Children pass through the stages as they develop drawing and writing skills. Now, what do you mean develop drawing skills? Everyone can draw something. No. You have got to work with the child and demonstrate for the child. So when they first come, they're drawing stick people. They're not putting very much on the bones, just the skeleton and a few detail features. And as you do a little test, you have them draw a human person for you the first day of school. Then you go back and revisit that around December and ask them to draw another person. If you take a comparison between August, when they start school, and December, you'll see that there's great improvement, that there may have not been as many hairs and no muscles on the bones, and now the child's beginning to fill things in. By the end of the school year, he's completely filled it in. You can do the same thing with giving a child a test, and always use the word test. Because they need to get acquainted with the word test. And don't say, don't tell him about the test. He needs to know. Don't keep things away from children. The more you tell them and prepare them, the better they're equipped. So I tell them, I put tests on the board, and I said, this means get quiet. This means put your things away and get ready to start writing. And when I do this in a quiet mode, and I will give two tests when they first come. First day of school or the first week of school, and the next test is to draw a picture of a tree. Some of the children are scared to death. They go home and tell their mother, I had a test today. I had to draw a picture of a boy, or I had a test. I had to draw a picture of a tree. Now, these items are put in the child's portfolio, and they are discussed with the parents. Both of the drawings, the beginning of the school year, the middle, and the end. And there is a comparison that goes on to show the progress that the child has made, if any. Now, it's important to allow this child to be very expressive and talk about why he didn't put meat on the skeleton bones. And, you know, does he see a little differently than other children or other different than yourself? Give him a chance to explain what he put on paper. Okay, writing helps children develop an awareness of how print is organized and used and how it radiates to a spoken word. Now, I don't know if you've heard the term rhema and logos, the spoken word and the written word. See, the words will take life and it will have energy. And there is energy in words, and there are some powerful words in the universe that you can speak that are very powerful. Children have to know that words become written, spoken word becomes written word, and they have to know that some words are more powerful and forceful than others. And once you teach them this, they know they have ammunition to fight with. Then they start using their mouths and stop using their hands to fight with. And that's why I'm always saying, use your words, use your words. So throughout the course of the week, I give them plenty of ammunition to fight with. Every week you're going to learn four words from your vocabulary, from your language art story. Then you'll learn four words from your science, and then you'll learn the flash words, the high frequency words. So by the time they look up on the board, there's dozens of words that they've got to know. So I'm quickly building their vocabulary, because I don't know most of you know this or not. Some children in particular races come to school with about 5,000 less words than other children. So they're terribly deficient. But it's not said that they come to school without bringing a presence. Every child brings a presence to the classroom. No matter where they come from, in the urban setting or in the suburban setting, whatever they bring you, start from that point. Don't criticize them because they're not articulate and don't have the large words to say. Begin to fill up that treasure chest with as many words as possible. I come so equipped that I have an apron that I wear, that I have to carry flashcards, and I have to carry index cards, and then I have to also have my index cards on my desk with words that we go fishing with. So I'm a wordologist, and I'm a poet, so I have to always search for words and words that rhyme with this and words that match that, and suffixes and prefixes and phonemic awareness. And the child begins to see that words are my life. Then they want words. That means they steal books. That's right. The books that you have made come alive to them, they want to take that book, and sometimes they'll put it in a backpack and say, can I borrow this book? And you never see it again. I begin to see books just fade away and never come back, and I even saw children take them off my desk when I was looking at them. So finally I said, I know how to fix them. I went to the Pizza Hut to find out the programs that they had for incentive for children reading. They had a program where as the children read the books, they will give them incentive where they can get tokens, and after they get so many tokens, they can get a free small-sized pizza. As well as I made Xerox copies of their favorite books, and then I stapled them and sent them home. And I said, you don't have to steal anymore. Whatever book you want, I'll give it to you. And they began to start to treasure books just like it was cash money, because it held something for them. It gave them the ability to function and have authority. Let me go on. Let's look back and moving on. As we go on and look at some of the titles, let me give you some titles of some stories. Bunny Cakes by Rosemary Wells is a good book. Max Takes Ruby Shopping List to the Store is a good book. He tries several different ways to add his own request for the list. Dear Juno is another story. And Dear Juno, Juno gets a letter from his grandmother in Korea. He finds a way to write her back. Juno is all excited about the story. You can use these stories in your class as well and use them for reading out aloud as well. Now, let me go on. Some of the stories like Bunny Cakes and Dear Juno, and those are books that I have read in my classroom, and I urge you to read them too. Constructing knowledge about writing. Children develop listening, speaking, reading, and writing skills at the same time. They don't isolate them from each other. They learn them at the same time. So why not teach them both together? It's an easy discipline to teach at the same time. In fact, language and literacy develops are so interrelated that it is difficult to think about one skill without thinking about the other and affecting the other. For example, doing After a typical reading aloud session, young children might say, you might say to a young children, do you recognize his name? Can you read it aloud for me? My name is Max. You can ask them where to find the name on a page. After you read a story, let them see if they can track the name on the page. Tracking is a very difficult problem for children, especially at the preschool and kindergarten age. Sometimes they're all over the paper and they can't find their spot. So teach them the left-to-right method. And always put their finger on where they're reading at and keep them tracking at an early age. Some teachers don't like to do this, but I think it's great because it helps them find their place. Learning to write involves small motor skills. Now, if the child's motor skills are depleted, then it's very difficult for him to write. But you can build those motor skills up. You can build those up by allowing him to do circles and different motions with his finger before he starts the preparation of writing. The visual concept of eye-hand coordination, understanding of print and concept, knowledge of the alphabet. Now, later on after the first 3 weeks, you'll get into looking at the alphabets, learning them in isolation, and then make a song out of them and learn them together. And there's one song that I like to teach them, which is a little different than the alphabet songs. A says a, B says ba, C says ka, D says da, and so on. And they love this song, and I have it on tape, and I come in the morning, I put that tape on, and we go to Boogaloo into that tape. It becomes a song. Then they learn it. Most children learn very well when things are put in a harmonic singing level and not rigorous memorization. Put it in a little tune or a chant. They'll love you for it. And listen to remind the child that it's important to try to hold on to the memory of the beginning letter, the last letter. Sometimes they'll learn all the letters in their name, but they can't give them to you in sequence. So help them out in that area. Early scribbling is very important. Often an older baby or toddler holds a crayon in their hand and they want to scribble on something on its own or with a little guidance you can give them and showing how to grasp the crayon in its fist and making the marks on the paper. The product of the scribbling are of less concern. These early scribbling experiences let children practice holding his first writing tool. That's right. Then you have control scribbling. After spending several months scribbling, a child makes an important discovery. I can control the marks I make with a crayon or a marker. Her smaller muscle skills and eye-hand coordination have improved, along with the ability to think before acting. Now, the eyes get stronger, and the hand-eyes coordination gets stronger because they're gripping and gripping and gripping. You can even buy grips to put on the pencil. The controlling of this, okay? The control scribble gives her a sense of power and control. She begins to explore different techniques, coloring and ways to use writing tools, and she scribbles in lines and zigzags often. And sometimes create a pattern of zigzags just to see if the child can keep on track. Give the child patterns to follow because it's important for them to follow directions. The basic forms. One day a child looks at his scribble and realizes some familiar shapes, and such as rectangles, squares, and circles. His small muscles control and eye-hand coordination have improved so much he can repeat the action that he started to do previously several times. Sometimes he combines and forms his drawing and writing together. He puts scribbles and squares on the same page. He finds out that he can put all the squares together and all the circles. He does not plan to draw an object or a person, but his name, he's drawing a picture of his name. And this is great. So If he wants to draw a picture of his name, let him do that until he can get to the point where he can write letters. He begins to make a horizontal linear scribbles that go across the page as if they were actual words. He scribbles and writes and does not look like an actual letter, but it is is something like a loop, and he begins to make loops all over the page. Now, we're coming up on the 6 o'clock hour, and we'll be getting ready to end our show. And just as our speaker wasn't able to get on this evening, I'm sure there'll be plenty of time for her to get on the show. Hopefully we'll have this technical difficulty taken care of. In the meantime, I want you to remember about the four categories that we've just recently completed. And today we and I will be coming back on the show tomorrow, so I will be able to work on where making my mark is important and continuing and finishing that up and starting on with our last session of workshop. Now, what I wanted to say is that this show will not end, but we will be going on to another program. I am a family and consumer science educator, which means that I work with family issues and with parenting skills as well as early childhood. So I have a plethora of programs that I'm going to be presenting to you in the near future. I did record some of those programs, and if you want to go on my Cinch on my Facebook or possibly on my Twitters, you can follow me there, and I do leave tidbits of things that we're doing or projects we're working on. And you will find out that there's a number of things that we're looking forward to doing with the women, the parents on this show. And for you teachers, I want to thank you for staying with me. And for you child development people, thank you for being on the line of family child care. I urge those people who are not homeschoolers to get involved, get up off the seats and start asking the child, do you care to read, getting that child to the library. And I want to thank you. You've been such great, great guests, and our guest is anxious to get on here. I talked to her earlier today. Her name is Fahima Shahid. She has written several children's books, and I'm anxious to get her on the show where she can talk about her illustration. Hopefully tomorrow we have this taken care of, if not, for our next show. In the meantime, I bid you farewell. I give you your world back. Thank you for allowing me to breathe breath into your world. Thank you for allowing me to talk to your children and give information about reading. I am such a appreciative of my audience. Please do write in, and I do need guests, and I need friends. Please write in. I'm a brand new person on the show. I thank you for coming and listening to me. If you're out there, I can't see you. I do know your energy is present. Thank you very much. And as I count down, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and we'll be off the air in just a second. Thank you once again. Asante Sana, Ajuba. Blessings to all. Blessings to all. Ajuba. Thank you so much. Have a pleasant evening. And do ask someone, would you care to read? Have a great day.